If you weren't, you missed out an incredible, powerful testimony that Solomon gave. Jace, I don't know if you're still here. You might not be here already, but Jace taught me an incredible lesson. We shouldn't be ashamed of sharing Jesus. We should not be afraid to tell others about Jesus. And just briefly, I'll just mention a few things to highlight what Solomon shared. Basically, we got together, a group of us. We were a total of six that were able to go to share some glow tracks on the 31st of October. And you know, I was looking in the news to find and see if any of the news outlets would say something about the Reformation and just put it there 500 years, and I couldn't find anything. Not one word. I was going through this, I can't believe it. This is an incredible historical event that happened 500 years ago. No one in the United States is mentioning it. I did go to the German newspaper, and there it was. And yes, they did, you know, a big thing about it, but only, I guess, Europe or some other countries around the world shared regarding this incredible event. I think people were preparing here for what other event? What is Halloween? And I hear it's the most costly, is where people spend the most money out of the whole year. It's in this event. And going to some of the neighborhoods, I could see why. I mean, wow. You had cars on their side. You had balloons. You had everything you can imagine. Sounds, speakers. And our group got together here at the church. We started putting these little glow tracks together. We, I think, added about 300 of them. Packages of three. And so if we were going to go two by twos, basically two adults or maybe three groups, that would be equivalent of 100 doors at least to knock. Yes? So I thought, wow, it's going to be a long night. We're going to be there for many, many hours passing these out. And to tell you the truth, brothers and sisters, I'm going to share here. I was like, what am I going to tell them when they open the door and they see me standing there, normal clothes, 44-year-old? They're going to be like, what are you doing here? And then I was going to go, a gift for you. You know, that was the glow track. And as we left this place, we came together and said, we better pray. So we prayed. And as we drove to the Drafts neighborhood, not too far from here. Again, when we got there, I started to see all these cars lined up on sides of the road and people walking and parents and children. And I think we were calculating maybe 500 to 700 people in this neighborhood. I was like, wow, I've never seen this before. And then I thought, we better pray to see how we're going to hand out all these glow tracks. And when we got together again to pray, Jace, who was with us, 5-year-old that you saw, he basically said, we prayed already, so it's time to work. It's time to work. We've done enough praying here. So we were huddled and praying, God help us as we share this, that they will receive it well. He was going out saying, a gift for you, a gift for you. Come, we have a gift for you. And he was so excited, he couldn't contain himself. And so he was going back and forth, and he would run out of them and just come back and say, hey, I need some more, and then go back out. And just kept going and going and going. And if he would run out, he would tell the people, just go over here. Come, follow me. I'm going to show you there's a gift for you. You would have 10, 15 people following that child. And we were like, wow, what's going on here? We could only say this was the power of the Holy Spirit working in the life of a 5-year-old. And I was just impressed to see what God can do, brothers and sisters, what God can do. It's not by might or power, is it? It's by His Holy Spirit. This is how the work is going to be done. By children, adults, everyone participating, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We were done in, I was done in 45 minutes. I said, hey, I got my 100 out. I'm finished. Wow. I was surprised at myself. Jace wasn't finished. He was like, no, there are more people. They need to know. And I left. I went back home. After an hour, Jace decided he needed to stay. And he kept asking Solomon, are there any more? In fact, we had to make more. We had to make more. And we handed all those out. I think it was a total of 1,000 glow trucks. 1,000 that were handed out. And Jace just kept coming back to Solomon saying, is there any more? There's still more people that need a free gift. Praise God. Praise God for what He does. And He's knocking on the hearts of all of us human beings. Yes? Including mine. I left learning a great lesson. And something that I shared with our students at EAA, I had chapel for them this Friday, and it was kindergarten, first, second, third grade. They were the ones I was speaking to at noontime. And I asked them, are you scared of anything? And they quickly raised their hand and they said, darkness. Okay, go to darkness. And everyone looked at them and said, yeah, that's scary. And somebody else, a bee. And everybody was like, oh, yes, bees, you know. And wasps. And you started to hear in height. Some of them said, oh, and they all looked at each other and went like, yeah, I'm scared of that too. And when I asked the question, I just asked the question, are any of you scared of sharing Jesus with someone else? They looked at me and said, like, really, Pastor Sam? Are you asking that question? They're like, no, who would be scared of sharing Jesus with someone else? They're all going like this, no. I was like, wow. Is that why Jesus is calling us to be like little children? Not afraid to share good news. Not afraid. Not timid. They want to share. So again, we praise God for the way that He works through children. And again, I was encouraged, and I praise God for that. There's a beautiful psalm that was read for scripture reading, Psalm 105. I invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 105. And starts off with verse 1 saying, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Call upon whose name? The name of the Lord. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Has God been good to us, brothers and sisters? He's been good to us. And the entire psalm continues to tell us how good God has been to His people, starting with Abraham. And we read Abraham during Sabbath school, yes? For those of you who are studying Romans, Abraham was talked about. The father of the children of Israel. And how the children of Israel were led to Egypt because Joseph was there. And He had made provision for all those who were lacking bread. And how God brought them out of Egypt with a strong and mighty arm. And again, how He took care of them after He had poured those judgments upon Egypt. And He brought them out with silver and gold. And there was none feeble among His tribes. Verse 38, Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. God spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. He made sure they were comfortable as His people. He wanted to provide for all of their needs. their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. So the psalmist invites each one of us to praise the Lord, to give him thanks. Is that something that comes easy to us human beings? Depends, right? I want to invite you to a story that is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verse 11. And we find something that happened to Jesus as he was going down to Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us that he was passing through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now we know that Jews and Samaritans were not getting along at that time. But when he entered a certain village, verse 12 tells us, there he met 10 men. And what was so particular about these 10 men? They were leprous. They had leper. So that means you could tell physically something had happened to them. You could probably also even smell what was happening to them. Their flesh was decomposing. They had all these bandages wrapped around them. They stood away from everyone else. The Bible tells us they stood afar, off. But once they recognized that Jesus had entered their village, that Jesus was walking through their town, verse 13 tells us, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Praise God, we have a loving Master. Amen? Who cares about each one of his children? Who knows what each one of us is going through and understands the pains and trials that his children have to endure as we go through this world. And the Bible tells us that Jesus saw them. Praise God, he sees us. Yes? Doesn't matter how messy we are or how we feel even about ourselves, Jesus is not afraid to look at us and invite us into his presence. So Jesus told them something very simple. Go, show yourselves to the priests. That was a command. Now, there was a law in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, that when somebody had leprosy, they were supposed to show themselves before the priest. The priest would look at it and then put him in quarantine, tell him then come back again. And if it remained, then he was asked to leave the camp. He had to leave and stand afar. But if in that time period his skin would heal, he had the opportunity of again to go back to the priest and show his wounds. And the priest would look at it and say, okay, you're welcome to come back into the camp. You are clean. But these men were leprous. They knew it. They could see it. But Jesus commanded them to go and do what? See the priest. And Luke tells us here that as they went, they were cleansed. Amen? As they believed in this instruction that Jesus was giving them, was giving them, they were cleansed. And I can imagine they were happy. Wow, I'm not going to just walk. I'm going to run. I'm going to see the priest right away. I want to go home. I want to be with my family. I haven't been able to sit at a table with anybody for such a long time. I am desperate to be with my loved ones. I can see them hurrying off to see the priest. But verse 15 tells us that one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned. And with a loud voice, gave glory to God. Where in the Bible do you see a being saying with a loud voice, give honor and glory to God? Where? First angel's message, Revelation chapter 14. He wasn't afraid. He was going to let everyone know. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who healed me. Glory be to God. And with a loud voice, I can imagine him just praising God, saying, God, you've done this for me. I can't keep it to myself. I can't hide it under a bushel. I need to let everyone know. Has God done something good for you, brothers and sisters? Has he done something good for you? This man fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And Luke notes that this man was a Samaritan. I can imagine this Samaritan going back to other Samaritans and saying, hey, you need to know Jesus. You need to come and see the one who did this for me. You need to meet him. He's incredible. He's amazing. He's extraordinary. Wonderful. And Jesus, verse 17 tells us, answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now it wasn't just his body that was well, but what was well now, brothers and sisters? His heart. He had found the Messiah. He had found Jesus. He had found the one who could change his life around. And he said, your faith has made you well. Is that the kind of faith we need today, brothers and sisters? That's the kind of faith where we're not afraid to share in a loud voice and give glory to God for the things that he is doing presently for us, and especially for the things he has already done for us. There's a family here in our church who is willing to share what God has done for them. And Joe Atchison, he was preparing. In fact, he had everything written down, what he was going to share. But he has a little bit of pain in his back, so we will be praying for him. But his lovely wife, Andrea, is here. She said she would share their experience. And I want you to pay attention. And again, we give God the glory. Amen? Amen. We give him the praise for the way that he takes care of his children in miraculous ways.
Yes, last Sabbath. So
There we go.
Okay. After the talent show last Saturday night, we were in our car headed home. We were all buckled in. And as we were going up the Ortega Highway, I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's very windy. It has cliffs on one side. And it's got a mountain on the other. And we're going up. I wasn't going very fast. I was enjoying the evening. The moon was out. It was very peaceful. A couple cars behind, as usual, you know, pushing, wanting to go a little faster. So I just pulled out on the side, let them go. And they went out, and then I just continued to drive up the road, enjoying the evening. Ariana was in the back seat. She was laying down on a little pillow. And Sebastian was sitting behind me with the pictures that he took from the talent show, getting them ready to send to his parents. Joe was next to me. He was the passenger working on his cell phone. And I keep my eye on the road. The Ortega is a very dangerous road. You don't take your eyes off of it. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm driving up, all of a sudden I see a car very fast and very close in the left lane. And there were no other cars between on the road between me and this other car. There was no reason for this car to transfer over into my lane, but it did. And it was going at such a fast pace that I saw it, it crossed over, it was in front of us, and all I could say, we're going to be hit. And sure enough, we were hit and hit hard, and I could hear the metal of the front of our car as the smaller car goes into the front. And the airbags deployed, the lights came on. We stopped for a moment, and then we started to move slowly. And Sebastian says, we're moving backwards. And Joe says, apply the brake. So I gently apply the brake, and it stops with us back into the mountain that was opposite of the road that we were headed up. Sebastian was the first one to be able to get his door open, and he got out, and he came to my door. My door was only opened about this far, so he pulled, I pushed. Ari was screaming in the backyard or back seat, saying, "I want to die." Mm-hmm. So we were trying to get to her. Joe had reached back and to hold her hand to tell, you know, that you know you're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. But as he opened the door to try to get out, he had hurt his neck and his back, so all he could do was slip down, and with his knees on the running board, he knelt and his head was on the seat. So Sebastian and I walk around, and by the time we get to where Ariana's door was, there was a nice lady there who had opened the door and was comforting her and told her that it's best if you get out and then sit behind the car, which is what she did. But after a while, she said, I want to go back into the Suburban. So back we went, and she laid down there. And at that point, Sebastian and I looked out onto the road, and there were cars lined up parked all along the road with so many people, wonderful people coming out to help us. It was, you know, like angels all Amen. Around. I mean, the Lord was so good. And the fact that we were even alive isn't amazing, because it was a head-on collision. It was about a year and a half ago that one of our neighbors, Dr. Barron, was coming down the mountain. It was like 9 o'clock in the morning. He was going to the clinic. And he had a Yukon, which has the same body shape as the mountain or the Suburban that we were driving, and he was hit, and his aorta was ruptured is the proper medical term, and he died on his way to the hospital. So we were just thankful that we were even alive. And then we looked, and they were across the road, and there were three women that were holding their hands and praying. And then one of them came over to us and said, what can we do for you? And I said, well, we thank you for your prayers. And she said, okay, we'll pray. So Sebastian and she and I, the lady, prayed for us. And then the ambulance arrived and said, we're taking her, pointing to little Ariana. And Ari said, no. She had the belt across her, but she was laying down, so her abdomen was really, really, really hurting. And so I said, well, Grammy's going with you. And the gentleman had said, one person goes. And I looked at Sebastian, and he had, his chest was hurting from the belt across him, too. So the ambulance took Ariana, Sebastian, and me. And then the next ambulance took the car that hit us, a young girl who's 22 years old, and her guy friend. I understand that she has a broken leg with a pin in it now, and her hip went out, and she's got pins in that. And her guy friend is still in ICU as of, you know, early last week. And then Joe was going to be the next one to go. He noticed that his cell phone came on, and he picked it up, and it was Dan Houghton. And so he asked Dan to please pray for us, which Dan did. And Joe or later learns that Joe's phone had actually called Dan. Dan hadn't called Joe, but and had called Dan at his house rather than his cell phone, which Joe normally doesn't do. And so Dan then calls Pastor Sam and Carolina. So by the time Joe gets to the hospital, Pastor Sam, Carolina, and Lorraine were there to comfort the kids and the rest of us. And so we arrive at the hospital. It's Inland Valley. Wonderful work they did for us. Sebastian got an X-ray on his chest, and he was fine. He was glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. And Ari had to have a CT scan, and Joe had one too, but it all said that everybody's fine. So we're bruised, but so very thankful that the Lord has preserved us, because even at Inland Valley, they said, we're amazed that all four of you have survived. And when they put us in the car at 5 o'clock in the morning, with Pastor Sam and Caroline and Lorraine still around, they said, it's amazing. You can thank the Suburban for your surviving. And I says, we thank the Lord
Amen.
For our surviving, because it was a miracle.
Amen. Thank you. Praise God. A lot to be grateful. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God for the way that he takes care of his children. And we are living in difficult and dangerous times, brothers and sisters. But in the midst of the difficulties and challenges that we all face, I believe the Bible is inviting us to be thankful, to be grateful. It's not easy, is it? Life is not easy. We can trust God that he will take care of us. And even if some of us have to pass away and sleep, praise God for the hope that when Jesus comes again, he will bring us back to life. Amen? That's a blessed hope. And so we are invited to share that with our neighbors, with our friends. Let people know we have a blessed hope. We have lots to be thankful for. And I believe, like the Samaritan man, we are to lift up our voices and give glory to God. Let people know we've been redeemed. We've been saved. The enemy has nothing against us, because God is with us. So I want to invite you to praise God and give him thanks, and to share that with others around you, that they may also know the wonderful and loving Father that you and I have the privilege to serve. Amen. Amen. Moment, I would like to invite our congregation to stand as we sing this beautiful hymn number 246.